You know, a few weeks ago, it was February 14th, otherwise known as Valentine's Day. On Valentine's Day, we can see boxes of candy covering whole aisles in the stores. And many of those boxes of candy are in the shape of a heart. The reason for this is that the heart is a symbol of love. The love that people have for one another, especially the love that husbands have for their wives and wives have for their husbands. However, in this sinful world, we don't love each other as we should, and the result is that our hearts are often broken. Our emotions can be wounded. Our relationships can be damaged. All this happens because our hearts are tender things. They are easily bruised and they are easily broken. I know you've experienced this yourself. Everyone has. Maybe you found out what a broken heart was back in grade school, when your dream of being part of a certain group of kids or being on a certain team never materialized. Or maybe it was in junior high or high school, and you tasted the reality of a broken heart when your feelings of caring for another person were met with rejection or even ridicule. Or perhaps your heart was crushed when your marriage was in trouble, or even when your marriage came to an end in the breaking, tearing of divorce. Or maybe it was the complete and unwavering destruction of death that broke your heart when one you loved so much was taken from you. Hearts are sensitive things, aren't they? A relationship can make your heart soar on the wings of joy, but a relationship can also break your heart mercilessly. Of course, our hearts are not only vulnerable to the shifting realities of relationships, are they? They can also be broken by the ravages of sin. Not only do others hurt us with their sin, it's even more devastating when we look at our own hearts and find there the ugly, unwanted stain of sin. Sin, in all of its manifestations, breaks us. Sin breaks our hearts. We are crushed by our own failures. We are destroyed by our own wickedness and evil. You could say that broken hearts is what Ash Wednesday is really all about. It's not an especially fun day, is it? On Ash Wednesday, you are called to turn your gaze inward, at least for as long as you can endure it, and then you see what actually resides in your own heart. And when you are forced to look, you recoil at what you actually see. No one else knows your heart like you, except, of course, God. Despite your best efforts to put a good face on things, you know the reality of your own heart. Each one of you knows the ugly, wicked, terrible things that go through your mind. Sin is functioning far too freely. Its reach extends far too deeply. For example, you might begrudge the good fortune of others rather than celebrating it. You might resent the joys that are denied to you but enjoyed by others. You might lust for what is not yours and then neglect what is yours. You might reject what God gives you to do and insist that there must be something better to life than God's plan for you. You might see the suffering of others but turn away in apathy. You might try to do what's right, but you always fall short, and you never quite measure up to what God expects of you. You see it all there in your own heart, and your heart breaks. It breaks in shame and regret and sorrow. We think of the sins of our past and we hang our heads in shame. We think of the sins we're currently struggling with and we end up in despair. We think of the sins we will probably struggle with in the future and we want to give up hope. Our heart breaks for what could have been and is not. It breaks at the staggering cost of sin. And so Ash Wednesday is really all about broken hearts. And broken hearts aren't fun at all, are they? A broken heart hurts. A broken heart aches with a dull pain that is unrelenting. A broken heart can express itself in physical symptoms and suffering sometimes. A broken heart takes a huge toll. No one wants to deal with a broken heart. So when a heart does break, whether from the volatility of a relationship or from the high price of sin, that's when we try to stop the pain, don't we? We want to stop the hurt at all costs. We try to fix our broken hearts. But we can't. We can't fix ourselves. We can't heal our broken hearts. Only God can. In the psalm that we heard earlier, Psalm 51, King David teaches us to pray the following words to God. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Does that surprise you? A broken heart. God wants your broken hearts. God wants crushed, battered, torn, bleeding hearts. He doesn't want hearts that are whole and perfect. He doesn't want hearts that have been patched up. He doesn't want hearts that have been fixed. He wants them broken. In other words, God wants you to come before Him with honesty and humility. He wants you to enter His presence as you really and truly are, broken heart and all. But that's really hard to do, isn't it? It's not surprising that many people in our culture who claim to be Christian don't even bother attending services like Ash Wednesday or Good Friday because it's too depressing. Who wants to face their own sin? After all, we're good people, aren't we? No, it's hard to face the reality of our broken hearts. It's hard to leave a broken heart alone. You see, we think that God surely wouldn't be interested in getting a messed up, broken heart like ours. And so we try to piece it back together so that God will receive our hearts with gratitude and pride. We try to fix our hearts in an attempt to make them presentable to God. However, when your heart is broken, you shouldn't try to fix it. People try to fix their broken hearts in lots of destructive ways. Some try to ease the pain of their broken hearts through substance abuse. Others try to deal with their broken hearts by compensating for their sin. That's right, by piling up an impressive stack of really good deeds, hoping that one day God will be pleased with them. But don't try to heal your broken heart through substance abuse. Don't try to impress God by hopefully convincing Him that your heart is worth looking at. You see, offering God our heart that we've tried to fix is like a husband giving his wife a broken vase that he's repaired with Elmer's glue and Scotch tape. It's offensive, it's repulsive, it's tragic. How futile and pathetic it is when we try to fix our own broken hearts. It just can't be done. You can't put back what our sin has destroyed. So don't even try to mend your own broken heart. Because God will only receive hearts that are broken. The good news I have for you tonight, my friends, is that God longs to heal your broken heart. He doesn't want your heart after you've tried patching it up and making it look right. He wants it broken. He wants it as it is, shattered by sin, trampled by the world's injustice, bruised and torn by the insensitivity and indifference of people. He wants your broken heart as it is, so He can fix it properly. Ash Wednesday drives the sad truth home. You are dust. I am dust. You are ashes. I am ashes. You are broken. I am broken. But the good news is that God receives you just that way and in no other way. In fact, when we're honest about our own broken hearts, we can actually become more compassionate toward others. People who are honest about their own broken hearts, people who are willing to face the evil of life and how it has affected them, usually such people have a greater ability for deeper sympathy and concern for others who are also broken. Rather than standing in judgment over others as though you've somehow been healed, we stand in sympathy with others, fellow broken sinners who need the healing that only God can give. And so, my friends, broken hearts like ours can become wonderful tools in the hand of God. He uses our broken hearts, and He uses us to work healing and restoration. But most of all, a broken heart has infinite value simply because our broken hearts are helpless and humble and ready to receive what God wants to give. You see, people with nothing, with no hope, we are eager to receive whatever God will give to us. But in contrast, people who delude themselves into thinking that their hearts are whole and full and healthy, well, they think they don't need anything. They think they don't need God. They don't need to come to church and hear His word. They can get fine in life without God. But broken hearts are hearts that know their desperate need. They're ready for what God gives. They hunger and thirst for it. And that's why God does not just snap His divine fingers and make your heart instantly whole. Actually, maybe that's how you would like this sermon to end. You would like me to tell you that if you just trust in Jesus, He will make your heart perfect and whole and painless right here and now. Wouldn't that be nice? But it doesn't work that way. Even though we would like to have every pain gone and every sinful desire wiped out and every broken relationship completely and perfectly restored and every crack fully repaired, it just doesn't work that way, not this side of heaven. In fact, did you know that there are some churches that will tell you that that's the way it should be? And if it's not that way in your life, then something's wrong with your faith, as though if you just trust in Jesus enough, your heart can be perfect and whole here and now? But that's a lie, my friends. God never ever said that we would cease having pain once we become His children. God never ever said that we'd stop having sinful desires once we become His children. God loves us, but He loves us in the midst of our pain, and He loves us in the midst of our struggles with sin. Oh, God has given us new hearts of faith, don't get me wrong, but we still have our old hearts of sin, don't we? But God loves us and forgives us anyway. But in spite of the pain we still face in this life, in spite of the fact that we continue to struggle with the desires of our sinful heart, please remember, God still loves us and He still forgives us. and He will still use us to be His witnesses in this world. Witnesses to a world filled with people whose hearts are broken and whose only hope is God, whose own heart breaks in compassion for us sinners. In fact, our hope tonight is that God was willing to break His own heart when He sent His one and only Son to the cross to suffer and die in our place of damnation, that we might be forgiven and that our broken hearts might have the hope of one day being completely restored. That's right, my friends. God takes our broken hearts here and now, and He comforts us with the promise that we're not only forgiven here and now, but one day, our hearts will fully be healed and whole again. That will happen when God makes all things new at Christ's return. On that day, sin will be eliminated, hurts will be wiped away, and all will be made new. But not yet. That's why we still have the season of Lent. Here and now, we still live in a broken world, don't we? Here and now, we still live with broken hearts. But don't despair. God is with you. He loves you and forgives you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Please, during this Lenten season, take comfort in these words of King David. A broken and contrite heart, O God, You will not despise. Amen. Now may the peace